Yes, it is. Sam Edmund in the chair with you this week for the pot. Dwayne Russell just having a little spell, but nothing changes here. It is still your show. You can give us a call anytime on the Werribee Kia open line, 1300 736 736. All the speckled text, which is ticking along nicely as well, 0433 98 11 16. I'll tell you someone else who's ticking along nicely. Nothing stops this man. He's a sports broadcaster. You'll know him from Fox Sports. You'll know him from just about everywhere. You might know him from the podcast game. Big welcome to you, Daniel Garb.
Sammy, thanks so much for having me on, mate. Yeah, I've been around a little bit and got a new little venture going on. So nice to be with you, mate.
Hey, this is great. It's called, speaking of great, Greats with Garby. I like this. Tell us about the podcast concept.
Oh, look, mate, nothing out of the ordinary, of course. There's a fair few of them around, but had a bit of time on my hands, so I thought there was room for something else in the market potentially, and a chance to use some of the people that I've been able to get to know over the last 15 years or so, who perhaps haven't had their story told, and get it out there a bit. So yeah, it's been some fun putting it together, and now we're away. Mila Jedinak, the first interview, which was great to get because we haven't really heard from him in detail about his career, the great Socceroos captain, and what his future is. So there was a news angle out of that, but also some great reflective stuff. And then Stephen Cornelio, who we do hear a lot about, but again, just having such a quality man tell his story, especially the battle between cricket and footy and what he was going to do, and then how he views being a captain moving forward. I really enjoyed that too, and I'm sure our listeners will. So we're off up and away, and hopefully there'll be a few more quality chats to come.
Geez, you're off and running. You've done well. Let's break these down. You've done well to get Mile Jedinak, the former Socceroos captain, not exactly fond of an interview, but you got him down for an hour-long chat. So he's keen to play on. Where could that be?
Who knows? It's interesting because, you know, his last season was, you know, midway through 2019, so he hasn't played for a good 12 months now. And even in his last season, he didn't play much for Villa in the Championship. He was sidelined a fair bit by them. So he hasn't played a lot of football at all, you know, for a year, maybe more by the time, year and a bit, by the time football resumes, you know, hopefully a month or two's time. He's in his mid-30s. It's a real challenge for him to get another contract somewhere, especially when his family is so happy there in the UK, but he's open to it. He's keeping fit. The new franchise coming into the A-League, MacArthur FC, have had discussions with him and would love him to be part of their inaugural squad. And he is interested and open to ideas. So that would be a really big story if Mile Jedinak played on. He's retired from the national team, but hasn't retired fully from professional football yet. So he's keeping that door open.
And just with Stephen Cornelio, you're right, we hear from him, at least listeners to this station are familiar with him and his story, but he loves the round ball, Daniel, and he recounted a funny tale of his experience overseas in Italy. I think he supports Juventus, doesn't he? And he went and watched a game and he decked himself out. Now, when you deck yourself out, you got to be prepared to cop what comes with that, don't you?
He's a massive Juventus fan, Stephen Cornelio. He went to Juve against Inter Milan in Milan. Now, that is the biggest rivalry right now in Italian football, the Derby d'Italia, they call it. I've been to one of these games. I've seen the ultra fans. It is scary, let me tell you. But Stephen Cornelio and Toby Green were enjoying themselves, and Steve, being a massive Juve fan, decided, stuff it, I'm buying a scarf, and I'm wearing it with pride to watch my team in Milan. Toby Green obviously doesn't shirk a challenge of that nature, so he bought one as well. Cornelio said he lost his scarf within about 5 seconds of entering the stadium because an opposition fan just ripped it off him and threw it somewhere into the crowd where he couldn't find it. But Toby kept his. Juve wins the game. They managed to pay a cabbie €20 extra to get him out of there because no one was taking Juventus fans, as you can imagine, and Toby Green wouldn't take his scarf off. Then they decided to put their scarf, their Juve scarf, out of the window of the cab in the middle of Milan after Juve had just beaten Inter Milan. It's fair to say that the cab got absolutely ripped to shreds. And the cabbie didn't care because he was an Inter fan. He wouldn't let them put the windows up. So people are walking by and spitting and throwing things at Stephen Cornelio and Toby Green in this taxi in the middle of Milan. That's not moving anywhere because, of course, there's traffic after a game. So an hilarious story that he retold on the podcast. And for once, he says it wasn't Toby Green getting him in trouble. Stephen Canelio was the protagonist in this instance because of his Juventus obsession.
I got to say, there's been a lot of headlines about Toby Green over the journey, Gabby, but a new one would be Toby Green in Serie A brawl would just about take the cake, I reckon.
Yeah, it didn't get to that level, of course. And they had a good laugh about it and quite enjoyed it. Obviously, it wasn't anything overly serious, just a bit of fun for a couple of guys who love their sport. And that's what I loved about the Stephen Canelio chat. I mean, Sammy, you're probably the same. Some of the code wars nonsense we get in Australia, for me, is just so unnecessary. The majority of sporting fans love a variety of codes. And speaking about that with Stephen Canelio was really interesting. You know, growing up playing cricket, playing footy, having that choice, but loving soccer as well and obsessing over teams and going overseas and meeting different sporting people and what he learns from them. And then just how passionate he is about GWS and being captain of that club and the brotherhood they've got there. He discusses all these things and he's just a wonderful ambassador for the game and for Australian sport.
I tell you what, Gabby, you'd be across this. It's all happening in the English Premier League at the moment. A lot of players unhappy. They've just done their big round of COVID-19 testing over there and what some seven players have tested positive. Mm-hmm. They want to get the game back, the season back up and going again, of course. But Danny Rose, England international, saying that players are being treated like lab rats. We know Troy Deeney, the Watford captain's refusing to train for fear of jeopardising his family's health. It is hard to see how they can chart a path back to the season resuming.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, look, is seven an insurmountable number? Maybe, maybe not. Perhaps they can find a way around it. It's becoming very tiresome, the whole chat, Sammy, for everyone, I think, in English football and people who love the Premier League. It's been going on for so long. And I think what's irritating people now is that self-interest is coming to the fore enormously. And the relegation threatened clubs are the ones that have started to speak out because they're trying to protect their patch. So they know they're in danger of relegation. They know there's a good chance if the league resumes, clubs that are even out of the zone at the moment could get sucked back in. They are trying to seize this opportunity. They want the season deemed null and void in the hope that they are not put in that predicament. And it's starting to become, I think, yeah, really unsightly for a number of fans. Not the teams at the top that are saying too much. It's the ones down the bottom now that have started to arc up. So how that all plays out will be interesting. But the league is desperate to ensure that the season continues for the whole of football. And that's been interesting to come out of this as well. Yes, it's for money for the Premier League, but that money flows all the way down the chain. The lower leagues can't afford to get their leagues going because they just don't have the money, but they'll be in a far worse position if the Premier League doesn't resume because that TV money goes all the way down to League One and League Two and keeps those clubs alive as well. So it's so important for the game that they get things going again, and that's why I think they'll do everything they can in their power to restart football and complete the season.
Yeah, I know I'm asking you questions you probably can't answer here, and no one can, but what do you think happens here then? Does it get going, in, obviously, without fans in some way, shape or form sooner rather than later? And obviously, Liverpool are poised to win the first title of the Premier League era as well. They've been anxious as well, all the Red supporters. What actually happens here, do you think?
Yeah, hard to know. I think they'll do everything they can to rush out the final nine games of the season, which can be completed in a month, obviously behind closed doors. They're trying to find neutral venues and a way of doing it all in that situation. Perhaps they even go to a remote place in Europe, another country that isn't actually affected by the virus as much as the UK, and play the games out there. That's been discussed, although I'd say that's unlikely. So they want to get it all done. If they can't, for whatever reason, my hunch is that they'll go to a points per game type scenario and try and finish off the season that way. I can't see them calling it null and void. I can't see them just completely scrapping the season because I just think they're going to have too many legal ramifications if that's the case. What about Leeds, who are, you know, on the brink of promotion? What happens there? It's too harsh of a penalty for them with only nine games to go. If it was halfway point of the season, different story. Forget about Liverpool. Liverpool are 25 points clear. They've had a one for months. Yep. You can give them the title. No one else is affected. What about Leicester, though, who are on the verge of Champions League? You know how big that is for them financially? Their next season, they're not going to be in a position to do that again. So you can't punish them in this way. So I think points per game is a likely scenario. I can't see them just scrapping it and forgetting that three quarters of the season was even played. I just can't see that situation eventuating, because they know they will create more problems for themselves if they do it that way than the alternative.
Yeah, so much money at stake. It's hard to imagine that if they did pull the plug on it, there wouldn't be legal cases and court cases. And as you suggest, it could get almightily messy if they had to put a full stop on it. Hey, Garby, a question off the speckle text here with us. Can you ask Garby if there's been any update on a national second division in Australian soccer?
Yeah, they're moving hard to try and set it up. I mean, when the new board came in, that was one of their first agenda points, was to set up a national second division, and they've had committees that have been set up to get this going. It's definitely something that I think will eventuate sooner rather than later in Australian football. In what way, shape or form, we just don't know at the moment, because financially, of course, it's going to take a lot of doing, and especially with the setbacks from COVID and the punishments of the game in that regard, especially to teams who would be vying for a spot in the second division, NPL clubs and the like, who have obviously had their finances affected enormously by no games being played recently. It's hard to know what sort of position they'll be in to get things going. But I think it's something that, out of this whole predicament for Australian football, where the game has been affected financially, will actually be a positive, because I think it'll be fast-tracked. They'll try find a way to galvanise the entire football community, which is so important to the game, by incorporating a second division and getting those clubs within striking distance of one day being promoted to the A-League and other clubs being relegated, etc., so we can close the barriers between grassroots football and the top even more in Australia. So I'd say it's likely in the future, but how far away, we just don't know, because financially things are so much up in the air.
Now, the Bundesliga, one of the major first real sporting league to get up and running at the weekend, of course, with no crowds. That was, Garby, one of my highlights of the weekend was the Borussia Dortmund players going to their end, quote-unquote, and applauding the fans who would normally be sitting there but weren't sitting there. Maybe they've set the template, the path forward with no fans when it comes to the round ball, but what do you make of the Bundesliga? They've been really aggressive, haven't they, in their return to play protocols and pathways, and they've got it done at the moment anyway.
Yeah, the Germans just do it well when it comes to these situations. They're just so efficient, aren't they? And it was great having it back. Really enjoyed it. Yeah, it's not fantastic without crowds and without that atmosphere, but it's a hell of a lot better than no sport at all, that's for sure. And I think we'll get used to it. And it's the same in the AFL. I found in round one, the first game, Richmond-Carlton, was really uncomfortable. But then I think as the weekend went on, we started to get used to it more and more. And I think within a month, obviously it's never going to be the same, and we'll miss crowds and we'll want them back as quickly as possible, but we'll just adjust as sporting fans and adjust with the situation we've been dealt with right now. And then I think that was the case with the Bundesliga as well. I really enjoyed watching superstars like Erling Haaland back playing football again. This kid's an absolute phenomenon, a once-in-a-generation talent who will be a massive name in world sport for years to come. It was great seeing him out on the park scoring goals again. It was just a thrill. So the German title race is really tight. It's Dortmund and Bayern Munich with 1 point separating them. And that's going to keep, I think, sporting fans of other leagues don't get going, Sammy, captivated for a little while. So, yeah, enjoyed it. Great to see it back. And the restrictions and the changes, we're just going to have to get used to them and deal with them for a little while.
Now, something else that was back in this part of the world in Victoria, Garby, recently was golf. And there are a lot of Victorians who are golfers who were just banging their head up against the wall, frustrated that they weren't allowed to play golf. Now, my spies tell me that while that was happening, you were pretty busy pouring salt into the open wound. You've been playing a bit of golf and you've been letting us know about it, I hear.
On one occasion on Twitter, I think I might have posted apologies, Victorians, and shown them a beautiful sight of my layout here in New South Wales, which is beautiful when it comes to a couple of golf tracks. But I've also been fighting the Victorian cause, or I was, while they were banned from golf and the rest of the country was playing, on Twitter as well. In fact, I sent a bit of a message, I think, to the health minister, because to me, I mean, look, Sammy Newman went a bit too far, and I haven't agreed with what much of Sam has had to say over the last 10 years, but I think he was spot on in this case. I couldn't understand why Victorians were banned and the rest of the country was allowed to play when you consider the restrictions that were in place for golf and other activities that were permitted in society, like personal training and things like that. It didn't seem to me like any more of a risk than anything else. But thankfully, it's back, and I'm happy Victorians can get out there again. Because I'll be honest, on a serious note, it kept me sane, Sammy.
Like, I can imagine.
You know, you're sitting at home and you can't do anything. I know that you're a big cyclist, and for you, it's probably getting out there on your bike, and that would have been enjoyable. Going for a game of golf a couple of times a week kept me sane while we were in lockdown, and that's why I think Victorians were getting so frustrated.
That's right. Normally drives you insane too when you were hooking him. You're probably never happy to hook or slice him. And I tell you what's back, but not for AFL players. Even those that are going to be hubbing in Queensland at those golf resorts, they're going to be in golf resorts, not able to play golf. It's like the ultimate form of torture. Greats with Garby, your podcast that's been launched with great acclaim already. Can you give us a little hint who you might have up next, Daniel?
I've got Shane Heal lined up, who I think will be a really good chat. I know we've heard a bit from Shane in the past, but he's ready to go and give some more insight on his career. So Shane Heal's lined up for an episode soon, and there's a fair few more big names in Australian football and other sports who are set to come on as well. So looking forward to it. And, please subscribe. It's on Apple Podcasts and all your other podcast networks. Get involved, have a listen, share your thoughts, and I'm sure it'll be a reasonable addition to your sporting diet.
Fantastic, Garby. Can't hear too much Shane Heal, especially when he's willing to talk about Charles Barkley. It's what we love.
Yes. Hey,
you've been really generous with your time, Garby. Glad to hear you've kicked on successfully. Thanks for joining us, Asavo.
Thanks, Sammy. All the best, mate.
Daniel Garb, there would be fewer sharper minds when it comes to the round ball and sport in general in this country than Daniel Garb, former Fox Sports broadcaster. Great to have him on Dwayne's World this afternoon. Plug in with us, will you? Give us a call anytime you want. 1-300-736-736, 0433-98-1116 off the Speckle text. Love to have your contribution on the show this afternoon. Well, we'll play a bit of audio of that Canelio conversation with Daniel Garb after the break. Of course, he went over with Toby Green to watch Juventus in Serie A before it all went a little bit pear-shaped. We'll play that little excerpt from the second episode of Greats with Garby on the other side of this.